This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey everybody, welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from FanSided. I'm your host, Cody Schultz, and today I'm joined by Netflix Life editor and co-host of the CW podcast, Reed Gowdens. Reed, welcome back to the podcast for another exciting episode.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, I feel like this month we actually have a lot of really good shows. It's been like quiet these last couple, like very crickets on Netflix front. A few big hits here and there, but I feel like May is really kicking off what's promising to be a big, big month for Netflix.
I would agree with you.
So like I said, May's going to kick us off. I think it's probably going to be like the precursor. I consider May like the first month of summer, and I really feel like they're kicking things off really big this year. So before we get into our top picks for the month, here's a quick breakdown of everything coming to Netflix on the original show and movie front across the month of May. So we've got A Perfect Pairing, Along for the Ride, Bling Empire Season 2, Blood Sisters, The Circle Season 4, Clark, Cyber Hell Exposing an Internet Horror, The G-Word with Adam Conover, The Getaway King, Hold Your Breath, The Ice Dive, Larva Pendant, The Lincoln Lawyer, Love, Death, and Robots Volume 3, Love on the Spectrum, Marmaduke, Meltdown, 3 Mile Island, Operation Mincemeat, Our Father, The Pentaverse, The Photographer, Murder in Pinoir, Savage Beauty, Senior Year, Somebody Feed Phil, Season 5, Stranger Things, Season 4, Volume 1, The Takedown, Welcome to Eden, Who Killed Sarah, Season 3, Wild Babies, and Workin' Mom, Season 6. That's quite the list. I feel like there's definitely one in that mix that we will be talking about a lot this episode, and that's, of course, Stranger Things. It's been 84 years since we've had the last season of that one. but I have to say, I want to start by talking about some of this month's movies, because there's a lot of good movies coming to Netflix in May on the original front. I think the first one that kind of stands out is A Perfect Pairing, which I know we're both excited for. So that one comes Thursday, May 19th, which I'm still puzzled by these random like Wednesday, Thursday releases still. I'm so used to like things dropping on Fridays.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Like they're starting to get me accustomed to Wednesday releases, but I'm like, this is a Thursday. What's up, Netflix? I don't get it.
Yeah, usually Thursday is like a documentary day. So it's weird that they're putting a whole movie on a Thursday.
Yeah, so for people who aren't familiar with this one, it stars Victoria Justice and Adam DeMose, I think is how you pronounce his last name. It's about basically a major client. A hard-driving LA wine executive, played by Victoria Justice, has to travel to Australia, where she ends up working as a ranch hand and sparking a rugged local, who's played by Adam, which just feels like a perfect like rom-com for Netflix. Like it's right in the mix there. I feel like it's going to be one of those favorites that people kind of gravitate towards, kind of in the same vein as like the To All the Boys franchises and that. I won't compare it to some other recent ones that we know I dislike.
Yeah, we're going to know exactly what happens in this, but it's not going to stop us from watching. Like it's going to be cheesy, romantic, and that's exactly what we want, especially going into summer. I feel like it's the perfect time for those feel-good movies.
Yeah, and I feel like Netflix really, no one else other than Hallmark was doing those. And they're like, wait a minute, like, we can do these too. And they really started doing that with, like, To All the Boys and The Kissing Booth and all of these others, in addition to, the standalones. And I love that we're getting those. It's like, yeah, it might be predictable, but sometimes predictability is nice. Just knowing you can go in and get, like, a lighthearted, happy tale. Like, you're not in for doom and gloom for 90 minutes to, 2 hours, whatever these movies end up being. And I like that. And I like that Netflix is kind of cornering that market too with some of these, especially the young adult kind of stories.
And I'm here for Victoria Justice having her own like cinematic universe on Netflix. Like it's about time, right?
Yeah. What was the one that she was in? I'm blanking on the name where she played like the ghost.
Oh, that's right. The Afterlife of the Party.
Yes, that one. I'm like, I love that one until the ending. So I'm hoping this one has a little bit better ending.
Yeah, the ending was strange, to say the least.
Yeah, but she's one of those actresses I like that Netflix is kind of returning to. I feel like Netflix is building up its staple of actresses that it kind of turns to. There for a while, we were like seeing Noah Centineo was like the only recurring person in like these kind of movies. And now we've seen it with like Vanessa Hudgens has done a bunch with Netflix. Now we've got another Victoria Justice movie. I kind of like that they're building up their own kind of staple of go-to stars.
Has nothing to do with May, But we have Lindsay Lohan to look forward to this year.
I am ready for Lindsay Lohan's redemption arc here at Netflix. I am so ready for this.
Oh, I'm ready. I've been ready.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay Lohan, like, she literally was, like, for those of us growing up in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, like, she was everywhere. Like, she was the queen icon, like, in teen movies. I was convinced as a child that Lindsay Lohan was two people there for a while, thanks to The Parent Trap.
I mean, has it been confirmed yet?
But she really was. I mean, I look back and so many of her movies, I mean, well, of course, Mean Girls, we all know. I've talked about that one on the podcast countless times before. But I mean, just so many other ones, Freaky Friday, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. I mean, she put out so many great movies during like her early years, and then kind of had like that rough patch where people kind of wrote her off. And so I'm ready for Netflix to kind of step in, give her this chance to come back into the fold and kill it with some new movies.
Can't wait to talk about her during the holidays. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like holiday movies are such a good way to bring actresses and actors into the Netflix fold. Like the franchise that they've built with these Netflix movies, although we still are waiting for like the ultimate crossover. Like we've had little tie-ins with all the Netflix shared universe stuff. I'm like still waiting for that Princess Switch, Christmas Prince. There's too many like words there that go together, crossover. And we know that, you know, the cast is interested in doing another movie. So who knows what that might happen there. But speaking of romantic teen, you know, movies coming to Netflix, we also have Along for the Ride, which this one's an adaptation of a novel by Sarah Dressen for the same name. It comes May 6th, which is a Friday, so I'm actually down for this Friday release. And it's basically the summer before college, Auden meets the mysterious Eli, a fellow insomniac. And while the seaside cape, the seaside town of Colby sleeps, the two embark on nightly quest to help Auden experience the fun, carefree teen life she never knew she wanted. I'm very curious to see how this one comes together. I don't know if this was a Netflix acquisition or an original one. I'm hoping it was one that Netflix has been involved with just because He's All That was an acquisition. We know how that went. But this one has a lot of promise.
Yeah, it looks really cute. And it seems like they're trying to, after all of these like franchises have sort of ended, they're trying to, I don't want to say that this is going to be a franchise, but they need their next like big teen hit, and this could definitely be it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this one, it's interesting. This is one that got shuffled around a little bit. It was originally supposed to drop sometime in April. I can't remember the exact date, but they moved it back to May, almost kickstarting what's going to be like their summer movie slate, I feel like, because we really see that start to amp up in May. We know they just dropped a list of all of the summer movies coming, and there's dozens of different movies that'll be dropping across the upcoming months. But I'm curious to see, like, if there was a particular reason, like, if it's just they wanted to set it up with a better audience, put some space in between it and maybe Heartstopper. I'm just curious by the date, the change there. But I think it's going to be a hit when it does drop.
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic and say that they moved it because they have confidence in it.
Yeah, I'll same. Go with I feel that. Like it, I feel like if they didn't have confidence, they would have just, like, dropped it out there quietly, let it be. Like, they moved it for a reason. And they are pushing this one pretty heavily, like giving it some solid promotion. So I feel like they're confident and hoping that it's a win for them. I feel like bringing kind of the trilogy of movies to a close, there's some other movies and documentaries that'll be dropping, but I feel like the other big one coming this month is Senior Year, which drops Friday, May 13th. It's got a really stacked cast. It's led, of course, by Rebel Wilson, but we've also got Sam Richardson, Justin Hartley, Chris Parnell, Mary Holland, and so many more actresses in there. I think I even saw like Alicia Silverstone is in the cast list, which Ooh. I didn't realize until I was reading it back. This one definitely seems like probably the most lighthearted of the ones in terms of like leaning into the comedy. It is a comedy. It stars Rebel Wilson as a cheerleader who basically falls off of like a pyramid in high school and then wakes up 20 years later as a 37-year-old and kind of just wants to return to high school and regain her status as the prom queen that, you know, eluded her because she's been stuck in a coma. It seems like a concept that I don't know if it would have worked without like a good lead and like the role there, which Rebel Wilson, I love Rebel Wilson. I'm so glad she's finally working with Netflix on something big.
Yeah, this sounds like the perfect role for Rebel Wilson. And it feels like we haven't seen her in a while. Like she hasn't been in a like a the lead of a comedy in a while. I don't know. I just feel like I haven't seen her, and I feel like for a while I was like she was in everything. But I'm excited to see her back in a comedy. Like no one makes you laugh like Rebel Wilson. Like she physical comedy, all of it. I'm sure that's what we're in for with this movie. And the like never been kissed angle where it's like she's regressing to high school sounds like so funny.
Yeah, I feel like she's like kind of been more in like TV roles, like in hosting duties, because I know she hosted like Pooch Perfect on ABC. She hosted some Amazon show like The Last Laugh or something like that, where it was like a bunch of comedians in a room. But we haven't really seen her in a big comedy for a hot minute. And I don't know why that is. I'm all down for like Rebel Wilson, because you're right. Like there was one year we got like the movie with Anne Hathaway, and then she had a second movie released almost within like a few months of one another, and then it's like she kind of took a break from acting, it seemed like, and was focusing on some other projects, which I loved following, and I'm just excited to see this one. I think it's definitely gonna be the. I also have to say, like, Justin Hartley's involvement probably doesn't hurt the film, because I love him from This Is Us, and that should be fun to see him tap into the, you know, comedic side again, which they do a good job of with This Is Us too. But you know, full comedy is definitely different than the drama that is This Is Us.
He was so good in A Bad Mom's Christmas. He was so
Yes.
funny in that.
Yeah, he's one of those ones, like those actors who I just feel like has a good comedic timing when they do the roles. Because like on Smallville, he of course played Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow, and kind of had like that humor, and they kind of leaned into it a little bit more. And so I'm glad that they're gonna give him the chance. I'm curious to see how it shakes up. But yeah, this one I feel like's a good release for Netflix, and it also is part of a really busy day. I didn't realize how crazy May 13th was going to be until I started like putting the prep together for this episode, because also on May 13th we've got Senior Year, we've got The Lincoln Lawyer, and we've got Bling Empire Season 2. So it's a lot of content coming our way on a Friday the 13th. I'm kind of shocked there's not a horror like movie or something in there, just because it is a Friday the 13th.
Oh, true.
But I guess I don't know. Maybe marketing missed there. But Bling Empire Season 2, I haven't watched the first season. I'm bad with reality shows.
Yeah, I didn't really connect with Netflix's reality shows. I tried Selling Sunset, didn't do it for me. I'm happy for everybody that enjoys it, but yeah, I tend to stay away from reality TV shows.
Yeah, this one, I remember when we started talking about it when its first season dropped last year. I mean, it got a lot of good buzz, and of course that's why it's coming back for a second season. I'm so bad with watching like realities. I never kept up with the Kardashians. When it comes to reality, it's usually like competition shows and baking shows. It's like that's my reality lane. But I know fans are going to be excited. That's definitely going to be one to watch. It adds some variety to the mix, of course. We've got a lot of good movies. We've got some good dramas, and that'll be, I feel like, the reality hit. But we also have another reality hit coming this month, which I am excited for, which is The Circle Season 4. Premieres May 4th, with new episodes dropping weekly. This year, I don't know if we did it in past years, but this year the finale is actually going to be on its own unique day. So we've got new episodes every Wednesday across the month of May, leading up to May 25th, which I feel like is a good thing. I like that Netflix has done this with their reality shows. It kind of spaces it out, gives people something to look forward to. Having seen the season, I can say it's definitely a wild ride. And they tee those episodes up perfectly to where you're like, I need to watch the next episode. Those weeks between are going to be so long.
I'm happy for you. That's all I can say. I'm glad your show is back because for those listening, Cody has been pining for the next season of The Circle, and it's all him. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, this one, I feel like this is one of my favorite Netflix shows, just in general, but definitely among their reality offerings. I always describe it as like Big Brother meets Catfish, but there's, I mean, it's just such a fun show. Like it's 13 episodes, so easy to binge. I love the host, like just the banter, like talking over, you know, giving like the monologues when the contestants are in their like little individual rooms. And this season's definitely wild, but yeah, it's one I've been waiting. Like I kept. Like, okay, maybe it'll come in April, maybe it'll come in March, and finally we got it in May, and I just like did a happy dance.
Circle send message. Hashtag let's go.
Yeah, that's the only problem with this show is I watch it and then I want to like talk my messages. I'm like, let me just get on all like talk it out. Like when they have to describe the emojis is always the most like funny thing, like hearing how different people describe the different emojis to type in the chat. Yeah, I'm obsessed with the show, truly. So definitely give it a watch. It starts May 4th. First four episodes of season four drop that day, and it's going to be a wild and insane ride. Also dropping May 13th is a new Netflix show, The Lincoln Lawyer, which it's based on the same books that the Matthew McConaughey movie was based on, which is a series of novels by Michael Connelly. This first season's actually based on the second book, which I didn't know until I like started digging into this a little bit, which is called The Brass Verdict. Basically, it follows a lawyer called Mickey Haller who works like out of his Lincoln. Like he prefers to like do things on the edge. Like he's got a driver and he works his cases in the car. That's like how like the baseline description is, but it's so much more than that. It really is just like a fun law show. It's funny, Maddie, our Netflix Life editor, she called it like USA kind of vibes, like classic USA shows. And I couldn't agree more. Like that's the vibe I pick up, like that, those days of like Suits and Private, you know, not Private Practice, that was ABC, White Collar and all of like those hits, Covert Affairs. Like it really does give off that vibe and I love it. It's different for Netflix, which I like.
Yeah, that was, I don't even think I've seen a trailer, but when the pictures first dropped, I was like, something about this is definitely giving like a summer USA Network show. And I was like, that's something that Netflix hasn't really done and something that I've been missing, because like when I think back to like 10, maybe more than 10 years now, like just watching like Royal Pains marathons in the summer when I was in high school was like some of the best memories, because it's like fun, mindless TV. And we don't really have a lot of that, because it feels like a lot of Netflix dramas and limited series, they're so heavy and like dark. And I'm not sure like what kind of stories this show's going to tell, but I'm excited to watch it and get those old USA feels. And also Neve Campbell is one of my favorites and I'm excited to watch her.
Yeah, it really is just like it's different for Netflix. Like it's definitely not something we've seen, but I like that. I love those USA shows. I was so bummed when they started to move away from like their original scripted stuff. Because I love like White Collar is one that I always come back to. I really enjoyed like that one.
I love White Collar.
It was so good. I'm like, I know they talked about doing a reboot, but I just don't see that happening now.
No, the end was perfect.
Yeah. It's like some shows, it's like when you have a perfect ending, you don't need to revisit it. But then there's also that person inside me. I'm like, oh, I'd love this cast so much that I wouldn't mind seeing them back.
I mean, maybe like with Psych, they could do movies. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah.
If the story was good. I mean, I don't want another like show, case of the week style. No, I don't think that needs to happen.
Yeah, that's the fun thing too with Lincoln Lawyer is it's a law show. So of course we've got our cases and they kind of do a perfect job of blending a case of the week kind of format. It's not like straight up front where like it's very formatted in terms of like, you know, like the Law and Orders, they have like their format, they get in and out, tell the case, boom, move on. How they work the different cases in is definitely unique. And then we've got the kind of overarching story for the full season, which is a murder trial. And it's kind of like uncovering it and seeing like you're questioning all the time, like, is this person guilty? Are they not? Like, how is it going to go? And I like that. And like, I'm just a sucker for a legal show. And so I've needed a show to kind of fill that void after how To Get Away with Murder ended, how For the People ended. I've been waiting for the show to kind of fill that niche.
Yeah, I'm happy that you get your law show too. Netflix is giving you so much this month, Cody.
It really is. I am winning this month because in addition to new season of The Circle, this amazing new show in The Lincoln Lawyer, we also have Stranger Things season 4, volume 1, which we literally have been waiting forever for. It's been over 3 years, I believe, since the last season dropped. We finally get the first batch of episodes on Friday, May 27th, which is Memorial Day weekend, which is a perfect timing for it. I think what's most curious is we don't yet know how many episodes we're going to get with this first drop. We're kind of anticipating it's got to be 4 or 5 probably, but we haven't got full confirmation. We also know these episodes are going to be super long, which I think is going to be kind of a nice handoff for like if we do only get four episodes, but if they're all an hour length, that's definitely going to give fans plenty to enjoy.
You know how I feel about long episodes.
Yeah.
It's a con for me, but again, my theme this episode is I'm happy for the fans. Like I will be the first to admit I have not watched Stranger Things yet, but I will. I'm going to binge it and prep for season 4. So I'm hoping selfishly that the episodes aren't too long, because this new trend of like over an hour long episodes, it's not my favorite thing, I'll say that. But it could work in the favor of Stranger Things fans who have been waiting for ever.
Yeah, I feel like that's the key thing with Stranger Things, is because there's been such a long wait, like, fans are so ready for the episodes. It's almost, I feel like we've had conversations about how it's like, why don't you just break the episodes up into like multiple episodes instead of like doing, you know, a 90 minute episode, do two that are like 45 minutes in that and call it, you know, then it feels like people are getting more. So I guess it's kind of a trade off. Like if the people saw like, oh, I'm getting 7 45-minute episodes instead of 4, you know, 90 minute or however long these end up being, it's kind of like a trade off. It just feels different. I'm curious to see how they break it up. I feel like if they are going with these longer episodes and keeping them contained to that, like the storyline, I'm hoping they keep tight and that it moves nicely, because I feel like that sometimes can be where you lose traction with these long episodes, is it's like, oh, we have a longer time, so we can just throw in all these things that don't really need to be there. And so I'll be curious to see how it's paced out. But they do have the benefit of, this is kind of the first time where we've got all the characters are split. Like, they're not in like the same location. We've kind of got people all spaced out. And I know that's something that they're leaning into with like the log line of how this is really the first time that everyone is kind of out on their own. Everyone's not just in the Hawkins bubble. And so I'll be curious to see. I know it's going to skyrocket right to number one when it drops.
It'll be there before then.
Yeah.
I'm wondering though, if they worked toward this, like splitting it in two halves. So like, will the end of season four be like a cliffhanger? Well, I guess maybe every episode could have its own like unanswered questions that will make you want to watch the next episode. But I'm wondering if it'll be like a satisfying conclusion, like a natural like break, or if it'll just be like, okay, well, why can't we watch the next episode? I kind of wish too, I don't know how other people feel about this, but I feel like they could have gotten away with dropping this season weekly and given the fans like a longer period of time with the show, instead of just like dropping it twice and then ghosting us again for 3 years, maybe, hopefully not.
I see, I'm a fan of weekly releases. I like, well, just as a writer, it gives us a lot more time to digest things and not have to like scatter to come up with a bunch of things covering a full season. But it also just, I don't know, it's easier to keep up with things with fellow fans. Like with the Marvel releases, we all know we're watching like the new episodes when they drop on Wednesday. So you can head to Twitter or, you know, wherever social media platform you like, and you can see like other people interacting with the episodes. With binge watches, people start them at different times. You've got some who they literally dive in like that 3 a.m., you know, time or whatever time zone they're in. They start as soon as it drops. And so they're binging it in the middle of the night. Some people wait and don't watch it until the weekend. And you never really know. So it's not that same effect where when you do the weekly, it becomes more like appointment TV. And with all the struggles Netflix is going on right now, like, I feel like they should be looking at new ways to keep people having to stick around longer, because if you know the episodes are going to drop weekly, you've got to either make the choice of, okay, I cancel my subscription and resubscribe once the season's over, but you know all of those spoilers are going to be out there just waiting around the corner for you. And so it's like, if you have that weekly release, it's like, I have to keep my subscription so I can catch the new episode every single week.
If there was any time for Netflix to try something new, I think right now in this current moment, which we don't have to recap, I'm sure people know what's happening. And also do it with your biggest show. Like, that's the risk you have to take, is with your, you, like, you can't do it with some like random new show. Like, no one's going to give a crap. You have to do it with Stranger Things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it definitely, there'd be pushback like to start. Like, fans are good. Of course, if they were to do that with this season, they would have been in an uproar, just like, you waited us, you know, made us wait more than 3 years, and now we have to wait weekly for new episodes. But you know, they would have been tuning in each week, like, because they want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, come on, like the Venn diagram of like Stranger Things fans and Marvel fans, like, you're watching, I know you're all watching the Marvel shows weekly. And if not, just wait 4 weeks and watch them all at once and just mute Stranger Things on Twitter.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I mean, I feel like Netflix is entering like a unique territory, like heading into like even this year and beyond. And so knowing that season 5 is already in the works, it's going to be its last season. I'm like, could they try something next year? We also have like the whole talk about like the ads and the password stuff. So there's so much going on that it's kind of hard to figure out what they could do. But I feel like if there's ever a time to test something like that, Stranger Things is your go-to show to do it with, or Bridgerton.
Yeah, or even like if they're not going to do it, obviously they're not doing it now, but like do it in July. Let it go out with a bang until we have to wait. The fans are going to complain about it waiting in again, so might as well give them more. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like that's the nice thing with weekly releases is it makes, even when you have a small season, it's spaced out because you have to wait and catch those episodes weekly. So it's like you're not just getting it, okay, here's a week, now you have to wait however many years until the next season. You watch it over the course of 7, 8, however many episodes it is, and it just makes it feel like a longer experience. Like it's, you're processing every week, like you're talking about the spoilers. Like I look at Moon Knight, and like every week people are like digesting the new episode, and then it's like talking, like the hype builds for the next episode. And I feel like Stranger Things would be that show that people would be so buzzed on Twitter. They'd be like trying to break down, figuring out what the cliffhangers meant. And you could also even start sneaking in like those end credit scenes that everyone talked about with Marvel.
Yeah. And we saw with Euphoria every week there was a new meme. That was only 8 weeks, but it felt like that show was on for a year. So I feel like they're really missing something in building discourse, and they should be aiming for meme moments. And it's hard to do that when you're dropping multiple episodes at once, because not everybody will get the meme. They're at a different point.
Yeah. And the other streamers are doing it already. Like we're seeing it on Disney Plus, we're seeing it on Amazon and Hulu with these weekly releases. So it's like Netflix, it's time to get with the rest of the group and, you know, give it a test. Even if people start to complain, like we're going to tune in. Like that's the key thing, especially with a show like Stranger Things.
Yeah. They will be,
we'll complain, but, so of course those are, you know, our 7 big shows for this month, and shows and movies, I should say. I always divert back to calling them shows just by like choice there. So we've got Along for the Ride, Bling Empire season 2, The Circle season 4, The Lincoln Lawyer, Senior Year, Stranger Things season four, volume one, and A Perfect Pairing, our must-see titles for May. We've also got some good non-Netflix originals coming. We've got Outlander Season 5 drops across May, 42, Are You the One Season 6, Crazy Stupid Love, When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, a quartet of Jackass films, and then the Rambo movies. So it's definitely like a mix of stuff coming across May. Something for everybody, pretty much.
Some good throwbacks.
Yeah, I was looking. It really is. I'm kind of surprised by how many rom-coms are coming in May. Because we've got some big ones with You've Got Mail, Crazy Stupid Love, and When Harry Met Sally. And it's kind of just interesting that they didn't think to drop those in like February when everyone's wanting that kind of content. They made us wait until May.
That's true. Bryce, if you're listening, make sure you add Crazy Stupid Love to your watch list. Little inside joke.
I need to add it to mine.
Yeah, you do. You do.
I do. It's awful. Sometimes some of the movies and shows that I haven't watched, it's shameless.
Cody, what are we going to do with you?
I know. I'm gradually getting there, which, I mean, Stranger Things, that's one that, you know,
I know. You're like, who am I to talk? I haven't even watched Stranger Things.
Well, no, I'm confessing, I was late to the Stranger Things game, like, on my end. When it was on, I think it was just Overflow, like, everywhere when that first season dropped, everywhere you looked was the cast. Everyone was talking about it. It was like, I became so jaded. I'm like, oh, the show, stop talking about it. Let me talk about something else for a minute. Because literally that's what everyone was talking about. And I was late to the party and binge watched all 3 seasons after season 3 dropped. And I quickly like had to do an apology tour of like, okay, I understand why you guys could not stop talking about this show. And then had to join the waiting party for season 4. And so I definitely think there's no doubt that's going to be the biggest title of May. That's the one everyone's going to be talking about. That's the one we're going to be talking about a lot. I just like that we have a nice variety to keep us busy in the weeks leading up to it.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. So before we sign off, it's time for our grades. I have been very cynical of Netflix these last couple of weeks. But I have to say, May's getting a strong A+ from me. They gave me The Circle. They gave me a good new legal drama, some new rom-coms, and we're getting Stranger Things Volume 1, Season 4. I hate the volume numbers, if you can't tell.
I'm giving May a B because this is the second consecutive May without Dead to Me. And I understand why. I really understand why. Like, not to get into it, but I understand why. But I'm still sad, and I want Dead to be back. It'll be coming this year, but it's the second May without it.
Yeah, I'm curious. I wonder if they'll sneak that in later in the year just to kind of help. I always look at like the Emmys and like do studios and networks get strategic in their timing to kind of put different shows in competition with others? Because I know Grace and Frankie probably will make a last minute Emmy run. Also Ozark and some other Netflix shows. I'm like, do they want to give it some space maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, you're right. Probably wait till next Emmy cycle, but I want it.
Trust me, I get that. There are so many shows. I'm like, Ike Outer Banks. Got to give a shout out to Outer Banks.
Gosh, Outer Banks.
We're heading into summer and don't know if we're going to get a season this summer. And that just makes me sad.
We aren't.
Let's end on a high note.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. Never mind. Retract my cynicism.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's end on a high note and just like, we know Stranger Things coming. That'll keep us busy. Outer Banks, it's coming. We just don't know when yet. And I can't think of a better note to end on that than that. Like I said, a lot of exciting titles to look forward to this May. Definitely going to be keeping busy. Stay with Netflix Life or the latest on all of your Netflix favorites. Thanks as always, Reed, for dropping in and joining me. Had a blast talking about all the May releases with you.
Same. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And that's it for today. Have a good one, everyone.